process measure surveillance. Many of the surveillance activities discussed so far have been outcome-related, for example, device-associated or organism-specific infections or SHARPS injuries. However, it is just as important to have a system in place to monitor the facility's processes. That is, how healthcare practices are actually conducted and whether or not staff and others are adhering to guidelines and regulations. Risks posed by non-compliance can increase the risk of infection transmission. It is, therefore, essential that they be covered by any surveillance program. A big part of any surveillance program will involve assessing how well current processes work, with the goal of identifying gaps in compliance and ways to improve. Surveillance of process measures is an assessment to determine whether activities and care provided are in line with established standards, what HCP, and sometimes residents, actually do. Process surveillance collects data using audit principles to conduct surveillance of process measures. Typically, the IP and their team will have to engage in observations of processes in real time, though they can also be chart-based, such as examining the frequency that dressings or devices were exchanged. While it might be possible to glean useful data and information from prior reports and checklists as well as chart review, for appropriate indications for testing or pre-operative antibiotics, the most effective approach to process surveillance is to observe staff as they go about their routine tasks. Here are some examples of process surveillance in a healthcare facility. Antibiotics. How are they requested, ordered, and administered? PPE. How and when is it used? Is it used correctly and appropriately? Hand hygiene. How and when are HCP washing their hands? Are they using the appropriate cleaning agents? Vascular access devices. Are the devices inserted, maintained, or removed when not indicated? Respiratory equipment. How is it cleaned, disinfected, and stored? Blood glucose equipment. Is it cleaned, disinfected, and stored properly? Urinary catheter care. Are catheters inserted when appropriate and not overused? Surgical site infections, SSIs. Are SSIs tracked not only during hospitalization but for the proper period after hospitalization ends, due to the trend of shorter days of inpatient care? Injection safety. Are injections administered according to guidelines? Are appropriate precautions taken by HCP? Injection supplies. Do supplies comply with regulations? Are they stored and handled carefully and safely? Medication. Are medicines being stored safely per manufacturer's instructions? Example, refrigerated at correct temperatures? Food preparation and storage. Are food items stored and prepared properly? Are there appropriate steps in place should food items be identified as contaminated, internally or through manufacturer recalls? Are HCP keeping track of expiration dates? Laundry. Are soiled linens collected, stored, and transported according to established standards of practice? Are linens returned to the facility appropriately laundered? Room cleaning. Are rooms cleaned properly and routinely? Are recently vacated rooms cleaned and disinfected appropriately? Construction. Are correct precautions taken during maintenance and construction activities so as not to intrude on the welfare and care of the healthcare facility's residents? Process measure surveillance checklists. When conducting process surveillance and evaluation, the use of checklists to validate practices is essential. For example, checklists are used by Environmental Services, EVS, supervisors to monitor the EVS technicians' cleaning and disinfection practices. The completed checklist indicates whether EVS technician practices are adequate or just-in-time training is needed. The IP, or designated IPC program team member, will use the same checklist to observe those processes in real time, thereby allowing the IP to validate the accuracy of results from EVS self-monitoring. There are many different styles of process surveillance checklists and a wide variety of elements that can be incorporated into them, but they all seek to answer the same questions. Are HCP complying with accepted standards, policies, and practices when going about their work? If not, what can be done to address this gap? Checklists can be created easily using spreadsheet software, but some examples are available from the CDC and other organizations, for example, the CDC's Quick Observation Tools, QuoteS. An example of a PPE use process evaluation checklist is shown in Exhibit 4-5. Exhibit 4-5. Example of a PPE use process checklist. Source, adapted from CDC Quick Observation Tools, quote, process measure interventions. Depending on what is discovered during process surveillance, IPs can put in place certain control measures/interventions to mitigate or avoid negative outcomes. Direct observation/surveillance of practices is often the most effective approach for assessing whether or not staff are complying with correct process procedures and practices. By instituting direct surveillance of practices, the IP and their team can identify control measures to address gaps in performance or compliance. It is important that surveillance activities are scheduled for different times on different days so that the IP can acquire a complete picture of compliance and practice. It is not uncommon, for example, for compliance to wane over the course of a shift as staff members become tired. Similarly, busy periods might affect compliance if staff believe they do not have the time to properly comply with guidelines. Finally, if staff are aware that surveillance of a specific process will be conducted at the same time on the same days, their behavior can change, resulting in data that does not accurately capture actual process compliance. For many processes, ensuring that staff members are appropriately educated is itself an important intervention. This is true for issues relating to equipment and PPE use, administration of medication, and cleaning, disinfection, and sterilization processes. Maintaining an adequate stock of equipment, medications, food, and other supplies, as well as ensuring that they are readily accessible, can help encourage compliance. For example, if staff are using a single pair of gloves or N95 respirator for too long, it might indicate that supply levels are inadequate or not readily accessible. Therefore, ensuring that glove and respirator supplies are adequate and accessible in each unit or department would be a priority intervention. If the problem is a result of insufficient supplies of PPE, then the IP might propose changes to the purchasing and ordering processes. If access is the issue, then the IP might propose changes to the storage of equipment and supplies or other practices that will ensure that staff have the necessary supplies as close to point of use as possible. Other potential interventions include the following. Supply management. Ensuring that PPE supplies are adequate and accessible in each unit or department should be a priority intervention. If the problem is a result of insufficient supplies of PPE, then the IP should discuss the issue with key stakeholders and might ultimately propose changes to the purchasing and ordering processes. If access is the issue, then the IP might propose changes to the storage of equipment and supplies or other practices that will ensure that staff have the necessary supplies as close to the point of use as possible. Medication management. Work with the pharmacy, medical director, staff nurses, and prescribers to create guidelines for safe storage of medications and ensure that antimicrobial stewardship strategies and recommendations are followed. Food storage and preparation. Partner with dining services to ensure that they have the correct functioning equipment needed to store food at optimal temperatures and that their cooking and other preparation equipment is up to code. Urinary catheter care. If there's an increase in catheter-associated urinary tract infections, observe the insertion and maintenance of urinary catheters. Work with HCP if procedural gaps are identified. When process and outcome surveillances are combined, the IP can use the data collected for cause and effect analysis, which is useful for performance improvement. Key point: surveillance examines both outcomes and processes. Understanding how processes are conducted can generate valuable information and recommendations to help reduce or stop the transmission of infections.